Welcome to the Your Mom Has a Blog podcast. I'm Chad Edgington.
I'm Melissa Edgington.
And we've got some a lot of catching up to do. It's been a long time since we had a podcast.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. You know, life just got in the way.
We've been in summer mode.
Yeah, just doing life together. All right. So, I guess it's probably been 3 weeks or so since we had a podcast. Mm. So, what have you been up to?
Well, I decided one day that I wanted to get rid of about half of the things we own. And so.
And I said,
go for it.
If that's how you're feeling, go for it. You know, I'm a real big believer in the Marie Kondo art of tidiness or whatever it's called. Is that what it's called? The art of tidiness? That's not it, is it?
The art of
decluttering.
The magic of tidy.
Yeah, whatever it is.
I don't know.
So I preached about it probably 4 months ago. I was up in the pulpit and I was telling about this book I'd read. And everybody made fun of me, including my wife. When I said, you should just pick up an item, she says, Marie says, pick it up. If it doesn't spark joy, get rid of it.
You know, I saw an article the other day criticizing Christians for subscribing to what she says because she's a Buddhist.
Yeah. But even Buddhists can understand the truth of don't have too much stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if the sparking joy test really works for me. But I did get rid of a ton of stuff, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
And usually, if I'm getting rid of stuff, I think, okay, I've got to have a giant garage sale because, you know, we need the money to buy the kids' shoes or whatever. And this time, I just let it all go. I just let it go.
Yeah.
I let it go out there. And it was nice. No garage sales.
Yeah.
Even though it pained me a little bit, because I knew I could make at least like $40 off of our stuff.
Yeah, so that's good. So we decluttered, and there's still kind of stuff all over the place that hasn't found a home, including Sawyer's bicycle.
Now we have to redecorate our whole house because we got rid of everything.
Yeah. But I've got the bicycle here in the house because we went riding the other day. And I guess I could put it out in the garage now that we've sold Adelaide's old bike. But we're, you know, I got him Santa got him a Mongoose bike for Christmas. And I always wanted a Mongoose bike. Like, that was the coolest thing.
Oh, yeah.
And now they have them at Walmart. They have these, and it's a great looking bike. It doesn't have spokes. It has hubs or something. I don't know. It's not a traditional looking bicycle. And we're out riding the other night. Adelaide got a new bicycle. We're out riding. And his bike his Mongoose just fell apart. I mean,
mid-ride.
It was terrible. And he fell off the bike and he's like, hold up, something happened. I ride back over there and the crank had actually fallen apart and ball bearings were falling out of his bicycle. I said, I think we're done riding. Luckily, we were right by Larry Rich's house and we knocked on Larry's door and he put the bike in the back of his truck and drove Sawyer home. And I called the company, and they're going to send me a new part.
I bet you're looking forward to repairing that bike.
I don't think I even can figure out how to get it all the way apart.
It's funny, because you called them thinking that they would give us another bike.
Yeah.
But no. They're going to send you a tiny part. And they said, good luck figuring out how to put that on there.
They said, well, maybe Walmart would take it back, but I doubt it. So, anyway, that's the great bike saga. Hopefully, we'll get that figured out.
So, it's summertime. We've been to Six Flags. How many times have we been to Six Flags?
I think four times this year.
Four times. This summer?
No, this year.
Oh, this year. Twice this summer. We got season passes to Six Flags. This is the second year we've done that. Because we live, you know, sort of near Six Flags in Arlington, Texas, so we can go there pretty easily. And
Well, we live far enough away to where they give you a great deal to get you to buy the season pass.
Right.
So if you're outside the Metroplex zip codes, they make a good deal.
It's a crazy deal. Mm-hmm. I feel like we rip them off.
Every summer.
Yeah.
We rip them off. But I love Six Flags. And I was trying to explain that to Adelaide, why I like it so much. But I like roller coasters, mm-hmm. for one thing. And I went through a phase where I didn't like them because I'd forgotten how to ride them. So now, I was telling you that on the Batman the other day. You can't go for 20 years without riding a roller coaster. You forget how to ride it. And you try to keep yourself all stiff.
I remember that. You were trying to decide that you were too old for roller coasters.
Yeah. I mean, we would go to Six Flags and I would ride them. And I would think, I need to get the Dramamine. I just can't do this anymore. And I was trying to keep my head still. And you can't do that.
But do you remember I would not accept that from you? I said... No way, man.
You're not too old. You're not too old.
We're going to keep riding these
things. Then I remembered how to ride them. I don't know, maybe at Fiesta Texas, I had a moment where I was like, oh, yeah. You just pretend like you're... Here's how you ride... For those of you who don't know how to ride a roller coaster, this podcast is for you today. Because I'm going to tell you the secret.
It is God's will that you learn how to ride a roller coaster.
Yeah. So what you do is whenever you're on the roller coaster, as best as you can... You pretend like you're steering the roller coaster with your head. That's what you do. So you just lean your head. So when you see the curve coming to the left, lean your whole body and your head to the left as much as you can. And then whenever it whips around that way, your head's already there.
What do you do on the loops? Head back.
You got to have your head back on the loops. Loops are no problem because, I mean, you're just sitting there. It's the jerking from side to side. That's how you ride a roller coaster. And I remember we ran into that that guy at Fiesta Texas. It was like my brother from another mother.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. And y'all really bonded over your riding technique. We rode it together.
Didn't I ride it with him?
Yeah.
Like I rode the wooden roller coaster at Fiesta Texas with him.
Yeah.
And it was just like we were from completely different cultures and everything. And it just was...
You clicked.
We clicked, man. I was like, this is my brother.
Soulmate.
We were roller coaster soulmates. He's like, yeah, you got to go with the coaster, man. I said, yes, that's exactly... You go with the coaster. That's how you ride a roller coaster. So we rode that together and high-fived each other when it ended.
And then you never saw him
And then I never saw him again. But we had our moment. We had our coaster moment. That's a great roller coaster. It's a wooden roller coaster at Fiesta Texas. It goes upside down.
You know what's weird? It's weird to me how we cannot seem to find a couple who both of the people like to ride roller coasters. Yeah. We want a couple to go with us to Six Flags, and we can't find one. So hey, if you like to ride roller coasters,
we will meet you at the we'll meet you at the front gate at Six Flags. You name the day.
Because there's always the couples are always like, well, I'll ride and he can wait, you know, but that's not very fun.
Yeah.
You got to have four. Listen,
I don't do roller coasters, okay? I just that down. That's not my thing. I just like to watch everyone else ride them.
Because that's really fun.
Yeah, it's really fun to be bored all day at Six Flags, you know?
Yeah.
But that's...
The great thing is at Six Flags on the Texas Giant, which is a great roller coaster... Mm. They have this area called the chicken coop where you can lock your kids in there while you ride together. Yeah, so they it's open really the door fun. Bark, bark, bark,
every time you open the door. So they're cool with that. They're fine to go in the chicken coop.
As long as we don't make them ride
that Texas Giant.
But they're starting to branch out a little bit. They're getting brave.
Yeah, Adelaide rode the Pandemonium. She rode that. That was good for her. They rode the bobsled.
So Emerald is, you know, she's only four, and she's just been right underneath, you know, this certain level where you can ride some of the fast carnival type rides and stuff. Well, when we went the other day, she picked out these little platform flip-flops to wear. Well, lo and behold, they made her tall enough.
They put her over the edge.
To ride these rides. And nobody seemed to notice it was the shoes, so they let her on them, and she loved it.
She had a big time. She's a little daredevil.
She is.
That's good. But I was telling Adelaide, I said, why do you like Six Flags so much, Daddy? And, you know, I said, because I can spend time with y'all. That makes me seem like a good dad, right?
It's not what
I told her. I said, the reason I like coming here is I don't have any bad memories. Like, this place has always just been fun.
I am.
And so I like to go there. There's the air conditioner.
It's okay.
It's loud.
Well, go turn it off.
That is going to bother me.
Well, go turn it off.
I'm going to have to go turn it off, so entertain the folks.
Okay, so... What should I talk about? Well, Chad turns off the air. I could talk about how... Oh, our big Lego project that we're doing this summer. So here, this has been a major part of our summer so far, is that Sawyer had a big idea. I mean, our kids love Legos, and they have a billion Legos. And Sawyer had this idea to sort all the Legos by color. And so that's what we've been doing for hours and hours.
I come home, and they're just sitting there with Ziploc bags sorting out Lego colors.
Yeah, and listening to music, and jamming. It's really fun.
Yeah, probably therapeutic.
And so, you know, they have this vision of having these little boxes with drawers with all of the Legos arranged by color. So I'll have to post a picture when we get it done, because it's going to be phenomenal.
That's good. That's good.
And Legos are pretty when they're sorted by color.
Yeah, there it goes.
It's nice. Okay, the air's off.
It took you a long time to come up with something to talk about, didn't it?
Well, you know, I wasn't expecting that. Yeah. You kind of sprung that on me. But I did come up with something.
That's good.
It wasn't dead air.
That's a good project. Yeah. So I've been following your blog.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
And this has been a real interesting week, talking about the women who treat their husbands like children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think you had the original post, and then you had the follow-up post. And what has been the reaction to that on emails and things like that?
I think the reaction overall has, I mean, of course, the men, I had several men, you know, comment or reach out to me and say, this is a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are a lot of women who maybe have had that problem in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women who've been married for a long time who've said, hey, when I figured this out, it really changed my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've had a few women who have reached out and have just, you know, they're just frustrated. They're frustrated because they feel like their husbands are acting like children. Because, you know, the old mantra is, if he didn't act like a child, I wouldn't treat him like a child.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, I don't think
it's
that's
like
untrue.
Mrs. Doubtfire syndrome, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's why they broke up.
Oh.
Was because he would never.
And then he had a children's
show. He wouldn't grow up.
Yeah. Yeah.
In her mind.
Yeah. But there's some truth to this. I think it seems like a lot of this stuff revolves around guys not, they're playing video games too much.
That's a lot of the complaint, like, is video games.
Video games.
Yeah.
And I don't play video games because I'm not any good at them.
Yeah.
And I've never, it appealed to me like when I was in the seventh grade playing Super Mario Brothers on the Nintendo, but the gaming systems got so far beyond my hand-eye coordination.
They're hard.
They seem
but
really
Sawyer
hard.
Sawyer can do them.
Yeah,
really
Sawyer
well.
Does them well. I just don't. It seems like it would take a long time to learn. It's like the way I feel about movies. You go to a movie, it's a long time to sit there,
mm-hmm.
and then when you walk out, the day's over. You know, I don't want to invest my time in something like that.
That's not really, I mean, it's 2 hours.
Yeah, I know. But if it's a morning movie, I don't mind going.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you'll start going to morning movies now?
I mean, if I wanted to see anything.
Chad's not much of a movie goer.
I don't know why. I went and saw the Star Wars movie. There's certain movies I look and I think, oh, I'd like to see that. And then I don't really want to see it.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it enough to drive to a theater and watch it.
I think it's maybe the phase of life we're in.
Yeah.
I think when our kids are grown, maybe we'll go back to some
movies.
I mean,
we used to like to go to movies when we were younger.
I love movies. I still do.
Yeah, I don't know.
You just abandoned me.
I don't know. It's like video games. The thing about the video games is people sit down and play those for hours and hours and hours.
I think that's the thing. I think that video games are one of those things that very easily moves over into the realm of an addiction, because it's like Netflix binging or something. You just can't stop. You know, you just, maybe they just think, well, one more level or something, you know?
And so it seems that when you've got one who's a gamer and one who's not, it creates a lot of tension.
Right.
When you've got two that are gamers, it just creates a household where nothing gets done.
I
mean, I'm talking like kids get neglected and...
It's crazy. It's very rare though for both in the couple to be gamers, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's rare, but the video games seem like a thing. I don't know that any women were complaining that their husbands worked too much, were they?
No, that wasn't the complaint.
I don't know that they minded if their husband works a lot. And maybe there's a different problem besides the treating them like a child. But I think there's some, you know, I would say to a certain extent, I can understand if you're acting immature, then people are going to treat you that way.
Right.
And I think the hard part of your advice is, well, treat them like they're worthy of respect, even though, you know, they are, you know, but we're all doing something that's disrespectful or disrespectable or something. Right. So, I mean, I could see you made a good point when you said, you know, just because he's not doing the two or three things you think he needs to do, you know, if the guy plays video games a lot, but he still gets his work done, he still spends time with his family, you know, is able to help out or do, you know, take care of the bills or whatever, however you break down your household chores. But, you know, I'm torn on it because I think if you're acting like a baby and people treat you like a baby, it's you can't really complain.
I think that men really, really do not like to be told what to do, though. I mean, it's almost like if you ask your husband to do something, I mean, he will probably do it, but he's going to do it in his own time.
Yeah.
You know, chances are he's not going to just jump up and go do that. You know, it's just a little way. It's always felt to me like it's a little way to show you that, you know, he doesn't have to do what you say right off the bat or at all.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Because you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, and usually, I'll be honest with you, from a guy's point of view, the stuff that the woman is really caring about getting done doesn't always seem that important.
Right.
And so it's like the way the guy's saying, okay, look, there's a bag, there's a plastic bag full of paper and some food. And it doesn't really need to be thrown away. It's not like the world is going to end if this isn't thrown away in the next 5 minutes or the next hour.
Yeah, but...
like, the food's not going to rot and start to stink.
But, you know, well, you know, my philosophy is if you ask him to take out the trash and he doesn't, just go take out the trash yourself. Because I am not the type that waits around.
For the trash to be taken out. But I say, a guy says it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And there are things, if a woman really thinks about it, there's things that the guy might be bothered by, and the woman's in no hurry to rectify those. Like, say, dirty dishes, or dirty clothes, or a bajillion other things that someone said, well, this needs to be done. Well, a million things need to be done, but I'm watching this game, or I'm talking to somebody, or I'm tired, or whatever it is. And you said, hey, I've said I'm going to do it. I would say if you're not willing to wait a few minutes, don't ask. I mean, why should the guy take out the trash anyway?
I don't know. I'm not saying the guy should take out the trash.
That's the kind of thing. I mean, a woman could say, well, why am I the one that does the laundry? I mean, I guess if you've got some, you know, you're going to break up your chores a certain way, you kind of fall into a routine of who does what. It's not really an issue to take it out, you know, but that you have to stop what you're doing or go put your shoes on. You know, I just think that maybe people make too big of a deal out of it.
Maybe.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if that's helpful. We're just arguing here, right? Is that what we're doing?
I don't think so. Obviously, you're a man and I'm a woman, so yeah. We see it differently.
Yeah, well, I guess the point I'm...
But I have noticed, though, that when a man asks a woman to do something, he expects her to jump and do it.
Because what he wants to be done is important.
Uh-huh.
Rub yes. My shoulders.
Now we see the truth.
Yeah, well, there's men are from Mars and women are from Venus or whatever it is, right?
But the point of the whole thing is just that, I mean, I honestly think that when it comes to most relationships, I mean, parent-child, spouse relationships, I think that people have a tendency to live up to whatever expectation that you place upon them
mm-hmm.
in a positive way, not in a critical way.
Yeah, well, And you've got to let people know what you expect from them.
Well, I mean, I think you need to just build each other up, see the positives, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. if you're going around saying, my husband is just the greatest, he's always there for me, he's my rock, he's, you know, I mean, if your husband hears you saying things like that about him, then he's going to be a lot more likely when you need help to say, oh man, I'm her rock, you know, she needs mm-hmm. me, and she tells everybody how awesome I am, and I've got to live up to that.
Yeah, and that's something you do really well. It's like I've always appreciated about you, is that you.
Chad.
I can't say that word appreciate or cuisine. What is it? Cuisine. Lean cuisine.
No.
Lean cuisine.
No, remember it's quiz.
Lean cuisine.
Yeah. Why do you have to hold your mouth like that?
The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
He has a problem with cuisine. And appreciation.
Appreciate. I can appreciate the cuisine.
And he also says
ancient.
He also says ancient.
Ancient of days. Yeah, to work those out. Yeah. So aside from
You were about to say something nice.
Gonna say that you're really good about not saying things about me to other people, except for the words I can't pronounce.
No, that's just loving.
That's
ribbing.
Our little inside jokes
that's
about.
That's love. Yeah. It's all love. Total. Love.
I don't have that many. What's the other one I say in the sermon that's always bad? Our lives, ourselves.
Oh, ourself.
Yeah. We got to watch ourselves.
Yeah,
we should watch ourselves.
And then the other day you said to somebody, do you got that?
Hey, you got them words up there for this song? That's what I said. You know, I was thinking about that when we were driving, how whenever we were growing up, we said the word ain't a lot. Like, we said ain't. That's what we said. Like, you ain't going to tell me what to do. Boo honky. That's my brother and I know we said ain't a lot.
We probably did too. I don't remember, but I'm sure.
But you
we
never
did.
Hear kids saying "ain't."
No,
you know
don't.
Who talks like that?
I don't know.
Remember the girl walked up at Bible school? She's like, "You're the pastor here, ain't you?" Is that what she said?
Yeah.
I was like, "Wow, that sounded so cool." I am.
Yeah.
Y'all having a good time, ain't you? Welcome to Submerged.
Maybe you should bring that back.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think that makes you sound like a smart preacher. But we did used to, you know, we used to talk like that to one another. Interesting. But our kids don't say ain't.
No, they don't.
They don't.
They don't even use double negatives. They point it out if somebody uses double negative.
Yeah. And apparently I point with my middle finger, and they always point that out.
Yeah, that bothers them.
Yeah. Stop, Daddy, don't do that. That's a bad finger. I don't know where I picked that up. You know, it's rude to point with your pointer finger.
It makes you look like an old professor when you point like that.
Yeah. What I need to do is do the Disney point.
Well, you've got to describe what that is. They can't see.
The Disney point at the Disney parks, they always point with two fingers, the index finger and the middle finger.
Oh. Why is that?
Exits are here and here and here.
Why
because pointing is rude. This is rude. This is not.
Interesting.
Yeah. So maybe I should start pointing with the two fingers.
Maybe I should do that too.
Yeah.
Does that work when you're pointing at a kid?
I don't know.
You're getting
it looks like the one finger would work better.
Yeah. Wagging your finger.
Yeah, wagging. Saying, stop that.
So there's one more thing I wanted to talk about. We're running out of
time.
But
I did want to say thank you for being the kind of wife that doesn't go around bad-mouthing her husband.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I mean, I do appreciate that. And I also appreciate your cuisine. Cuisine.
You got to think of it as quiz.
Cuisine. I know. It's cuisine. Like when people say Olney. Yeah. Oh, you guys living down in Olney?
Yeah.
No, we live in Olney.
Or Sawyer.
Sawyer. Yeah, Sawyer.
His name is
Sawyer. Yeah. Well, some people go to their lawyer.
Lawyer.
They should go to their lawyer.
Yeah.
Sawyer. Lawyer.
Okay, this cannot be good for a podcast.
Yeah,
this
I know.
Cannot be. This isn't good content.
You know, if they've made it to minute 24, they're big fans.
At this point, we're just entertaining ourselves.
This is just like what we do every night.
Okay, so let me get to this one. The last now, listen, thing you we're not going to be long-winded about this.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's agree.
Ahead. Let's agree. 2 minutes.
Okay, so I wanted to just talk very briefly because this, since we've been on here, you know, a lot of crazy stuff has happened in our country, and I saw a post that was written by a blogger. Her name's Melissa Fenton. Maybe some of you guys saw this. It was passed around on Facebook. She was talking about how America now is a culture of shaming and blaming, and especially when it comes to parenting. And she was using some examples from the past of Adam Walsh, which was the little boy who was kidnapped in Sears in the 70s. Because his mother left him at a little video game console and went two aisles over to look at some lamps. Right. And anyway, one thing led to another. And she talked about baby Jessica, who fell in the well, which Chad and I remember that very well, even though we were little kids. And she was just pointing out how things have changed so much, because back then when those things happened, the whole country rallied around these families and these parents and had such empathy for them and supported them. And we were all, you know, cheering for baby Jessica to get out of the well. Nobody was saying, well, where were her parents? What was she doing around that
hole? Or why did they have a well unplugged?
Yeah, you know, and nobody said, well, that mother should be prosecuted because she left him over there at the video games. You know, it just... It saddens me so much that that's where we are as a country. So I would like for our generation to just put a stop to this mess of jumping on every parent every time some tragic accident happens.
Yeah.
I mean, none of us are immune to these kinds of things happening to us. And it just amazes me how much pride and arrogance that we have, that we immediately criticize these parents. And she even mentions in the post, she asked the question, have you ever been to a child's funeral? And I have been to a, you know, we've been to a child's funeral. It's an experience you will never, ever, ever get over or forget.
So sad.
And it just makes me sick, you know, when I think about if I were in these parents' positions, you know, and on top of the pain and torment that I already felt, having a whole country of strangers calling me a bad parent and blaming me for it. I mean, it's just cruel. Yeah, it's cruel. It's evil.
And it's selfish, because I think the reason that a lot of people jump to criticize the gorilla case and then the Disney alligator case, you know, you're looking at those and you hear that terrible news and you say, well, if I had been in that situation, that would not have happened to my child. Mm-hmm. So the first thing they're saying is, what about that situation would I have done differently so I could have had a different outcome, because it's scary. So it's fearful. And instead of, it shows you, it's probably just a lack of compassion on our part. Instead of hearing the situation and feeling for the man who lost his son, our first thoughts are not with him and his son. Our first thoughts are about us and our own fear of that of something like that happening to us. And we say, well, that wouldn't have happened to me because I wouldn't have been swimming there.
But why do we feel so superior in those moments? I don't understand.
Well, I think it's
you think it comes off as superiority, but it's actually fear.
Well, it's selfishness. It's that right now we consider ourselves first in every situation, and I think that's always a recipe for sin, and bad behavior, when you think of yourself before you think of others. I know when I feel like I'm doing a bad job as a pastor, it's usually because I'm thinking of my own needs first when I'm dealing with somebody. And so constantly, I think whatever job you have, whether you're teaching or you're a doctor or you're a pastor or a parent or whatever you're doing, the thing that you have to do is put your own, I'm tired, I have something else I need to do, you know, take your own self out of the equation and see the other person's need. And I think if we did that, we'd be, and try to understand where that person is, I think we'd be a lot less likely to come out and say, well, I wouldn't have done that, or he shouldn't have done that, or she shouldn't have done that, because you're getting in their shoes and seeing, you know, seeing things from their point of view.
Yeah, we don't have empathy anymore.
There's something like that. It's something that it's either fear or just an inability to relate, mm-hmm. because we're smarter.
You see it all the time on the babies that are left in hot cars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and every time one of those cases happens, I find myself on social media trying to say, listen, the minute you think that could never happen to you, you know.
All those people thought it would never happen to them.
Yeah, of course you would never think that can happen. Yeah. But listen, as a mother of three kids, there are times whenever your brain just is not functioning properly. Yeah. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And that could happen to any one of us. And I just, oh man, I just wish we could change the culture of parenting in this country and just link arms and say, look, this is a hard job. And we want everyone to do well here. We're not rooting against each other.
Right. Yeah. Good words. Good stuff.
Thanks.
So we had to get that off. So it had that, you know, thinking of that, it really, since we've had our last podcast, it's been so many news events that are just crazy.
I know. That's really part of the reason that I didn't have the heart to come and do a podcast, because things have not felt very lighthearted.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But we know God is in control.
Yeah. God's in control. And we can trust him. He's a good God. He's trustworthy. And, you know, it's if he's not in control, then you're left with the alternatives that either nobody's in control or someone else is in control. And I would rather have a good, righteous God be in control of everything, even if I don't understand all the purposes, all the reasonings, because his ways are higher than mine, his thoughts are higher than mine. And so we just trust him. And as we parent, as we work, as we lead organizations and groups and disciple other people, then we just have to trust him.
Yeah.
So, well, thanks for being with us. We always appreciate your listening. And
hey, during that really serious moment when you were talking, you said "ourself."
I don't know my problem. I can't stop. Ourselves.
It's endearing.
It's endearing. Yeah. So everybody's got to have a thing, right?
Yeah, you got a thing.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, I'm gonna try to correct that though.
Yeah. No.
Well, I'm gonna just, because it's important for us to consider ourselves.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the way that we speak and communicate.
I have terrible grammar now. I you know what I do all the time? I say "real." I'm real excited. That all the time in front of your mother, which
terrible.
Chad's mother, English guru.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. Signing off. I'm Chad Edgington.
I'm Melissa. Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.